Well, let's read together the good news of Christ written in Isaiah 53, 700 years before this actually happened. So clearly and vividly prophesied, a testimony to the truth of inspiration. These words are from God through Isaiah, his prophet. Isaiah 53, page 1145, 1145. Isaiah 53, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's read again. Verses 4, 5, and 6. That's our text this morning. 4, 5, and 6. And please keep your Bibles open there as we work our way through these verses. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ, remember in Acts 8, that Ethiopian eunuch riding in his chariot, reading the scroll of Isaiah at Isaiah 53. As he's riding home from Jerusalem to Ethiopia on the Gaza Road, and the Spirit says to Philip, go up to that chariot and talk to that man. So Philip runs up to that chariot and talks to that man. And that man is reading from the scroll of Isaiah. These words we read this morning from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And Philip said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, no. What's this passage talking about? Is the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? And Philip said he's talking about Jesus Christ. This is the good news of Jesus. 700 years before it all happened, Isaiah the prophet is describing the suffering and death of Jesus so clearly and vividly and so exactly. How Jesus would grow up like a tender shoot. You remember that? The first words of Isaiah 53? Like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. His humble beginnings out of dry ground. Born in a stable. Raised in poor Nazareth. And how he would be despised and rejected by men. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. And that's the good news that we want to hear this morning from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Jesus Christ was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, first for our transgressions, secondly, with our punishment, and thirdly, for our peace. Jesus is stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God for our transgressions, with our punishment, and for our peace. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God for our transgressions, not for his own. When people saw Jesus suffering, being nailed to the tree, the cross, which is a sign of the curse, they concluded that God did not approve of Jesus. Jesus must be a bad man. He must have done some terrible sin. He must be a criminal. But that was not true on all fronts. The universal testimony was, this man has done nothing wrong. Herod said that. Pilate said that. Pilate's wife said that. The Jewish people said that. The Sanhedrin needed false witnesses to bring accusation. Innocent. The Bible says that in so many places. In him there is no sin. 1 John 3 verse 5. 1 Peter 1. He was a lamb without spot. Without blemish. 1 Peter 2. He committed no crime. There was no deceit in his mouth. Hebrews 7, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. And the strongest testimony of all, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Doesn't say he had no sin. It's stronger. He knew no sin. He had no personal experience in his words, in his actions, not even in his thoughts or desires, with sin, though he became sin for us. No personal experience or personal knowledge of sin in himself. Pure and spotless. He was stricken, he was smitten, and he was afflicted by God for our transgressions. For our iniquities, says the Bible. Transgressions means for our rebellion and revolt against God. Iniquities means our perversion and twistedness and waywardness. That was ours. It was all our own. It was mine. And he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for my junk, my perversion, my twistedness, in my place. As my substitute. That's the teaching here. That's why God sent his eternal son Jesus to earth as a human being. So that Jesus could stand in the place of his people as truly one of us. Truly identify with us and bear our guilt. And take our punishment. And that's what Good Friday is all about. It's Christmas come to its climax in his death and resurrection. Now in Isaiah 53, the Lord is talking to his people Israel, who are sheep that have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. Israel has turned its back on God. They've plunged into the pool of sin in the deep end. And Isaiah 1 says, they're covered with iniquities from the hair on their head to the soles of their feet. There's no soundness in them. They're crooked. They're wicked from head to toe. Every body part is filthy with sin among the Israelites. Every aspect of their life, their emotions, their feelings, their desires, their thoughts, their words, their intentions, their plans, their actions. The whole business is vile, is guilty. And if it's true for his covenant people, it's true for the whole world. We're dirty in our emotions and desires and tongues and bodies, packed with sin from head to toe. That's us. And then God brings the good news. I have wrath for you in your sin. I have zero tolerance for sin. I hate sin. And you deserve to be punished forever. You deserve hell eternally. But I'm going to put it on someone else. And that someone else is going to be stricken, smitten, and afflicted by me instead of you for your transgressions. That's the good news of Isaiah 53 to Israel. They're wasted by sin. And he's coming. God is coming down in Jesus to put that on somebody else and make our sin his own and bear it in our place. And that's what the Old Testament says. Jesus, or God the Father, saw us perishing in sin, and his heart went into upheaval in compassion and pity. I can't bear that you perish. So I'm going to make your sin my own. I'm sending my son. I'm going to pierce him for your transgressions and crush him for your iniquities. And Jesus said, long before he came, yes, Father, that's what I want to do. I have the same pity for your people as you do. I'm coming to offer my life as a sacrifice for their sin. I'll stand in your presence loaded with their sins, and you can beat me up, Father. And you can destroy me with the destruction that your people deserve. Punish me. Let them go free. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit all worked together in this great plan of salvation for sinners. And on this Good Friday, the question is, can you say it was for my transgressions, for my iniquities? Do you minimize your sins and call them mistakes? Do you minimize your sin and say other people make you do it? It's not really your fault. Do you minimize your mistakes and say, well, I didn't really mean to do it. It's not, my heart is actually quite good. I didn't mean it. Then you have no interest in Jesus. You can't understand what he did. But if you understand what Jesus did and what he bore, your sin, my sin and wickedness, and say, mine was the transgression, but yours a deadly pain. Lord, my heart is in revolt. My desires, my words, my thoughts, my feelings, my actions are in rebellion against you. I'm perverse, and I give my sin to you. Take care of me. Save me. Then Good Friday is good news for us personally. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God for our transgressions. Secondly, he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God with our punishment. You look at the words in these verses that describe Jesus' suffering. There are 10 words. It's loaded. 10 words that describe Jesus' suffering. Let's go quickly through the 10 words. Verse 4, he took up our infirmities. Jesus carried in his body our sicknesses and diseases and griefs and hurts and pains. They were uploaded to him. Secondly, he carried our sorrows, our anguish, fear, terror, death and hell, God's wrath. He made that fear and terror and anxiety about eternal damnation his very own as he struggled, remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he cried out the complaint on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Thirdly, he was stricken by God. It's to smash somebody with your fist. Beat them up violently. He was stricken. Fourth, smitten means to attack and destroy and kill somebody. Fifth, he was afflicted. That's to be bent over. It's to be brought low. It's to be oppressed with heavy, heavy burdens. Sixth, he was pierced. And that means to take a drill or a spike and bore a hole right through somebody. He was pierced in his head with a crown of thorns, in his hands with nails, in his feet with nails. a sword thrust into his side. He was pierced. Holes were dug into his body. Seventh, he was crushed. It means to shatter and break in pieces. He was shattered. He was broken into pieces. Eight, it's for our punishment that he died. Our punishment was upon him, it says. That means our rebuke, God's rebuke toward us was on him. The discipline that was coming to us was on him. The blame, the fault, the sentence, the death sentence. Our punishment became his. Number nine, wounds. By his wounds we are healed. You know the old language, old King James, by his stripes. And that's the literal word. That when they scourged him with a whip, that was a whip with nine tails of leather with pieces of stone or bone or metal tied into the end. So as they lashed him, it sliced his flesh and plowed furrows across his body, looking like stripes. By his stripes, his wounds we are healed. And the tenth word of suffering, the Lord laid on him, verse 6, the iniquity of us all. To lay on means to throw a heavy burden and have them carry it for you. But the heaviest part of his suffering, that all these 10 things we're talking about, were not done to him by the Romans who crucified him, nor by the Jewish people who yelled, "Crucify him." Not by Herod, not by Pontius Pilate, but by God. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, his own beloved Father. It was God who delivered up his Son for us all. It was God who took our iniquity and threw them on the shoulders of his Son and crushed him and destroyed him. Verse 10 says that again. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Jesus was not a victim in the hands of the Romans or the Jews or in our hands. No. His death was planned in eternity past. His death was himself offering up his own life freely, voluntarily, lovingly, as a sin offering for us. And that's what made his suffering so crushing and horrifying and devastating. The Father turned his face away and he went to hell. Total, absolute hell on the cross. Jesus was cast into outer darkness. All hell descended upon him there at the cross, and he became a curse for us, the Bible says. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God with our punishment. The Lord's Supper has any meaning for us. If Good Friday has any meaning for us, it's because we understand that the immolation of Jesus' body, the devastation of his body, the squirting out of his blood, his lifeblood, the hell and damnation that came on him was mine. I deserve that, Lord. I totally deserve that, and you don't. Like the thief on the cross who was converted, we're getting the punishment we deserve, he said. That was a confession of faith. But this man is innocent. Have you come to that spot in your life? That's what I deserved. Are you still walking around as somebody who is not that deserving of punishment? Oh, there are some out there who are, yeah, I can see it. They're especially wicked. But me? I'm half good at least. This guy right here deserves hell as much as Hitler, as much as any vile person in the penitentiary right now. I might not have expressed my sin as much, but it's all there. But for the grace of God, there go I. Yeah, I deserve that punishment. Lord Jesus, you took it for me. Father, you took it for me and put it on your Son. Hallelujah. What a Savior. You understand that? He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God with your punishment. And thirdly, Jesus was stricken, smitten, and afflicted for our peace. The punishment that brought us peace, says verse 5.
By His wounds we are healed. Verse 5. The Father laid on Him our iniquity. Verse 6. We have peace through His blood. We have healing through His blood. We have forgiveness through His blood. We're set free. And that's the great miracle of the cross, that Jesus did this as a substitute. He subbed in. He subbed in for us. And He did that as our representative. He acted on our behalf. And He did that as our replacement. He took our place. And God gave Jesus that special place in the human race, so that what Jesus did for us, He actually took away from us. What He did for us, He removed from us. It wasn't that Jesus was just walking alongside us, feeling our pain with us, so we have some sympathy. It is that, but it's much more. It's Jesus walking instead of us, and taking what's ours and making it His own and taking it away from us. That's the power of the cross. He took upon Himself what was not His own to make what was your own no longer your own. He took upon Himself at the cross what was not His own in order to make what was our own no longer our own. And when He became sin for you, that was your sin God laid on Him, and your sin being removed from you, gone. Taken away, I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And when He was condemned before a Jewish and a Roman court, that was my condemnation He was wearing. And He took that condemnation away from me. So God no longer says to me, a believer, you're guilty, Harry. The guilt verdict is taken away. And when He became a curse for me, the curse left me because He wore it instead. And when He was crushed for my iniquities, shattered, broken to pieces, that was my shattering, my being broken to pieces, that He removed from me when He took it upon Himself. So I'll no longer be crushed. And when He was pierced through for our transgressions, it was my piercing He took, and it's gone from me. So God no longer has to nail me to the pain and anguish of hell forever. And when He was punished, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, my punishment was being taken off my shoulders and loaded onto Him. When hell came on Him, He was removing my hell from me. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But there's even more. That's just half the benefit. He not only took away from me what He took upon Himself, but He gave to me the opposite instead. His punishment brought us peace. He took from me what was mine, but He also gave to me what was His. Jesus has peace with God, a right relationship with God, a relationship of harmony and love and intimacy with God forever. And He took my broken relationship with God upon Himself, God's wrath and anger toward me on Himself, so that when I believe in Jesus, what do I get? Peace with God. God comes to me and says, my wrath is gone, put somewhere else, swallowed by another. And I love you. And you're reconciled to me. And there's no barriers in fellowship anymore. It's gone. It's taken away. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reconciled. I have harmony. And more than peace, verse 5, I have healing by His wounds. We're healed. Not only are our wounds taken away, the eternal slicing of the flesh that we deserve and hellish torments. But instead I get healing. My soul and mind and heart and life that are in revolt against God, that hate God, are healed. And instead I get a heart now that trusts in God, that wants to follow Him, that delights in His commandments and wants to serve Him. That's the healing I get. A new life. Life of walking with God instead of walking against God. Well, brothers and sisters, these gifts of salvation are ours by faith in Christ. If you want to hang on to your sins and continue to go your own way,
so be it. You will have to perish forever under God's wrath in your own body and soul. Don't take the way of rejecting the Son, but instead, trust in Him. Confess your sin to Him. Surrender your life to Him. Tell Him you need this sacrifice for your life. And then all this salvation is yours personally. Your sins are covered and paid for. Your punishment is removed. God is no longer angry with you. You have peace with God. You have healing. You have eternal life. I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains while in His blood most precious, till not a spot remains. Amen. Let's pray. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, Lord Jesus, for us, in our place, to set us free. Father, what love that You should lay our sins on Jesus and have Him bear the load. Lord Jesus, what love that You should be willing to have the Father lay our sins and punishment in You. Holy Spirit, what love that You should equip the Son to carry out His task faithfully to the end and give Him the strength, so that now we can come and lay our sins on Jesus, knowing that You laid our sins on Him first, Father. So give us trust, give us love, and help us to come to the table in confidence that our sins are washed away and we have peace with God. Amen.